Chapter 42. As I say, sir, apostrophe pompously went on the mayor, the arm of the law is a strong arm, and a long arm. That is the way I put it. A strong arm and a long arm. Apostrophe, how forcible. And yet, again, how true. Apostrophe murmured Mr. Datchery. And without betraying what I call the secrets of the prison house, apostrophe said Mr. Sapsia, the secrets of the prison house is the term I used on the bench. Apostrophe, and what other term than his honors would express it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Datchery. Without, I say, betraying them, I predict to you, knowing the iron will of the gentleman we have just left, I take the bold step of calling it iron, on account of its strength, that in this case the long arm will reach, and the strong arm will strike. This is our cathedral, sir. The best judges are pleased to admire it, and the best among our townsmen own to being a little vain of it. Apostrophe, all this time Mr. Datchery had walked with his hat under his arm, and his white hair streaming. He had an odd momentary appearance upon him of having forgotten his hat, when Mr. Sapsia now touched it, and he clapped his hand up to his head, as if with some vague expectation of finding another hat upon it. Pray be covered, sir, apostrophe entreated Mr. Sapsia, magnificently plying. I shall not mind it, I assure you. Apostrophe, his honor is very good, but I do it for coolness, apostrophe said Mr. Datchery. Then Mr. Datchery admired the cathedral, and Mr. Sapsia pointed it out, as if he himself had invented and built it. There were a few details indeed, of which he did not approve, but those he glossed over, as if the workman had made mistakes in his absence. The cathedral disposed of, he led the way by the churchyard, and stopped to extol the beauty of the evening by chance in the immediate vicinity of Mrs. Sapsia's epitaph. And by the by, apostrophe said Mr. Sapsia, appearing to descend from an elevation, to remember it all of a sudden, like Apollo shooting down from Olympus, to pick up his forgotten lyre, that is one of our small lions. The partiality of our people has made it so, and strangers have been seen taking a copy of it now and then. I am not a judge of it myself, for it is a little work of my own. But it was troublesome to turn, sir, I may say, difficult to turn with elegance. Apostrophe, Mr. Datchery became so ecstatic over Mr. Sapsia's composition, that, in spite of his intention, to end his days in Cloisterham, and therefore his probably having in reserve many opportunities of copying it, he would have transcribed it into his pocketbook on the spot, but for the slouching towards them of its material producer and perpetuator, Durdles, whom Mr. Sapsia hailed, not sorry to show him a bright example of behavior to superiors. Ah, Durdles, this is the mason, sir, one of our Cloisterham worthies. Everybody here knows Durdles. Mr. Datchery, Durdles a gentleman who is going to settle here. Apostrophe, I wouldn't do it, if I was him, apostrophe growled Durdles. We're a heavy lot. Apostrophe, you surely don't speak for yourself, Mr. Durdles, apostrophe returned Mr. Datchery, any more than for his honor. Apostrophe, who's his honor? Apostrophe, apostrophe demanded Durdles. His honor the mayor. Apostrophe, I never was brought afore him, apostrophe said Durdles, with anything but the look of a loyal subject of the mayoralty, and it'll be time enough for me to honor him when I am. Until which, and when, and where, Mr. Sapsia is his name, England is his nation, Cloisterham's his dwelling place, auctioneer's his occupation. Apostrophe, here, deputy, preceded by a flying oyster shell, appeared upon the scene, and requested to have the sum of 3 pence instantly chucked to him by Mr. Durdles, whom he had been vainly seeking up and down, as lawful wages overdue. While that gentleman, with his bundle under his arm, slowly found and counted out the money, Mr. Sapsia informed the new settler of Durdles' habits, pursuits, abode, and reputation. I suppose a curious stranger might come to see you, and your works, Mr. Durdles, at any odd time? " said Mr. Datchery upon that. "Any gentleman is welcome to come and see me any evening, if he brings liquor for two with him," returned Durdles, with a penny between his teeth, and certain halfpence in his hands, "or if he likes to make it twice two, he'll be doubly welcome. I shall come. Master Deputy, what do you owe me? A job. Mind you pay me honestly with the job of showing me Mr. Durdle's house, when I want to go there. Deputy, with a piercing broadside of whistle through the whole gap in his mouth, as a receipt in full for all arrears, vanished. The worshipful and the worshipper then passed on together until they parted, with many ceremonies, at the worshipful's door. Even then the worshipper carried his hat under his arm, and gave his streaming white hair to the breeze. Said Mr. Datchery to himself that night, as he looked at his white hair in the gas-lighted looking glass over the coffee room chimney piece at the Crozier, and shook it out. "For a single buffer, of an easy temper, living idly on his means, I have had a rather busy afternoon." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.